Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Let's pray. Father, this morning we want to say thank you. Thank you for your love and thank you for your kindness. Thank you for bringing us together again. Thank you for a fresh week. Thank you for what you have in store for us. Like a shepherd takes his sheep to green pastures, we pray. And this morning, Lord, you will feed us. For the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Feed us like a shepherd feeds his sheep. Affect our lives. Let us not leave your presence the same as we came. In Jesus' name, and somebody said amen. Why don't you put your hands together for the Lord? You may be seated. We're looking at Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says that, but he that lacks these things is blind. He that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. There is a condition of blindness that the Bible speaks about. Blindness to the fact that we can't see that we have been saved or purged from our old sins. Blindness from the fact that we have eyes, but we can't see. Now, Jesus one time spoke about that. He said that you have eyes, but you can't see. You have ears, and you can't hear. Now, the Bible is saying here in 2 Peter chapter 1 that, you see, apart from being saved, you need to add to your faith a few things. And without those things, you will not be able to really survive Do you understand? It is like if you are going to cook, every cooking is an addition of things together in a pot. For those of us who know how to cook and those of us who don't know how to cook, we don't want to teach you how to cook this morning. But cooking is basically, I think that Joanne is the expert here. Cooking is basically putting a pot on fire and adding things upon things. Ingredients. And then after the end of the addition and then the application of the heat to the pot, something nice is prepared so that we can eat from it. Now, food that is not prepared is food that cannot be eaten. And food that is prepared, like I said, is the addition of a couple of things. Now, in Christianity, it's the same thing that you can be cooked or you can be proper and be stronger and you can really be the right type of Christian when you add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, he talks about temperance and knowledge and brotherly kindness and all the things that you must add up, because it's the addition of that that makes you proper and appropriate. The Bible says that without that addition, you will be blind. Now, you'll be very surprised that many of us are blind to a lot of things. And one of it is heaven. You see, being blind to heaven makes us live our lives in a certain way. Yeah. The blindness, Christians suffer from blindness. Yeah. Because the blindness to heaven is what makes us unfruitful or makes us barren. But you see, the call of God, when the Bible says that many are called but few are chosen in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14, the call of God, like we've learned, is a call to become fruitful. Because on that day when we stand before God, God is going to analyze our fruits, what we have achieved whilst we're here on earth. So when God calls us, he calls us to be fruitful. Because the Bible says that we did not choose him. He chose us. And he has ordained us to go forth and bring fruit. So our purpose here on earth is to be fruitful. If you see a mango tree that God created, it is fruitful. If you see an animal that God created, they are fruitful. If you see a human being naturally, a human being is fruitful. So when God also calls us into the spiritual realm, we are also supposed to be fruitful. So it's all about being fruitful. When he created the heavens and the earth, he made sure that everything was in place. Everything was in place so that fruitfulness will work. Now, just as we see animals and see plants and we see trees and we see things reproducing and bringing forth after themselves, in the same way, in the spiritual realm, we are supposed to be fruitful. Now, can you imagine that a mango tree refuses to bear fruit? You will not like such a mango tree in your house. You cut it unless you want shade. But if it's shade, you have shade in your house. You don't need a mango tree to give you just shade. At least it must give you shade as a secondary purpose. But primarily, you want to eat mangoes. Yeah. We have some bananas in the corner at the back there. I mean, we try to cut them, but the reason why we've not been able to cut all of them is that they bring forth. So when we are cutting them, we feel it. You feel it because when you cut them off, you are cutting off some fruits. Because now and then we get some bananas to eat. So try to get rid of all the bananas. It's a problem. But if they were not bringing forth anything, but they would have gone long time. Long time. Because we have some plants for the back there. Are you with me? So what is happening to us is that even though God is not going to cut us off really like the banana tree, there's going to be a day where he's going to ask us. That's not how he works. Even though the Bible says that if any branch that does not bear fruit, he takes you off. There are a lot of things that we don't get. There are a lot of things that we are not exposed to just because we are not fruitful.
Yeah. Because if you are not fruitful, you will not get water. Nobody will water you. You can be there, but you will not be watered. Yeah. Instead of being watered, you won't be watered. You'll be there. Yes, you'll be there. But who wants to waste his water on you? You can be there. And if you are there, then you are there. So, and that is what is happening to us in this world. That's what is happening to us in this life. Sometimes the things that we go through and the difficulties we experience is all because we are not bearing fruit. It's because if you and I are bearing fruit, it will be so important to God. Just like a banana tree, he will not cut us off. He can't avoid us. Anybody who does anything for anybody is very important. Contrary to to what you might think, that you know what, you rather want somebody to do something for you. It is when you do something for somebody, that's what makes you important. Are you with me? Are you with me this morning? The countries that are important in this world are the countries that give us loans and give us services and everything. The countries that don't give anything are the poorest countries. They are the countries that nobody wants to go to. Yeah. The Americas and the Europeans and all these people are places where you get a lot of help from. That's why a lot of people go there. And some of the places where we are living, we want to run away. Can you imagine if the American embassy, the British embassy, and the Canadian embassy, they were to say everybody should come for free visa? Guyana will be finished. No, nobody will stay here. Little bass. Yeah. Nobody will stay here. Why? Because we want to go to the countries that have something to offer. So if we live our lives as Christians who always want to receive, and that's the nature of Christians these days. We only want to receive. Anytime people need you urgently, it's because they want to receive something from you. They are not looking for you urgently to give you something. No, it doesn't work like that. We are a selfish set of human beings, homo sapiens, on this planet. But you see, we can function like that only to realize that one day, give me 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Barren because you are blind to heaven. It is the absence of heaven in front of you that will make you not even accept the call of God and do anything for God. You see, if you look at some of us, you see, you only mind your own business. And you're a nice guy, you're a nice lady, you go to work, you don't do anything bad, you come to church Sunday morning, you talk to one or two people, you give your offering, and then you go home. Very nice Christian life. But that is not all that the Christian life is, you know. It is people who are blind who live their Christian life like that. Because if that was the best, all of us would be doing that. If the best was to come in and sit down quietly and pay your offering and your tithe and go, then I will also sit down, because why? I am the pastor. Why do you want me to do something that is not beneficial? Why? If what you are doing is the best, then I would have done that already a long time. In fact, you wouldn't have even found the church to come to, because nobody will be preaching. We'll all be sitting down, and then we sit down for 30 minutes. When we are tired, then we go home. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. Blind or barren because you are blind to heaven. If you and I, for example, when we go to school, you get it? When we go to school, all the things we study, we study all of that just to be able to pass exam by answering about 4 or 5 questions. From secondary form 1 to secondary school form 5. We do all the subjects we do just so that we can go and answer about 3 or 4 questions to get our certificate. Now, if we knew the questions that was coming, if we knew that a question is this question, you see how we will be fruitful. We will not waste our time so much. Now, in a similar manner, if only we knew the questions that are coming in heaven, and there are going to be questions in heaven, you know. Michael, There are going to be questions in heaven. God is going to ask you and I questions. One of the questions is, what did you do for me? I kept you alive. What did you do for me?
Lord, I was busy walking. You know, my walk, I couldn't get time off.
And you see, the moment you speak like that, the angel will slap you.
Yeah, it's like you are speaking rudely to God. God is asking you a question. You are trying to bring excuse. Answer the question. What did you do?
Yeah.
I was watching Untergang. That's the downfall of Adolf Hitler. The bishop was talking about it, so I decided to just have a look at it. So I was watching this about 3 hours. Untergang in German, which is the downfall of Adolf Hitler. Now, when he was about to commit suicide, he ordered a marriage officer to come and marry him and his wife and a woman. Yeah. And then when he came, he sat down in front of, they were sitting in front of him, and he was reading the vows so that they would say, "I do." He read it in a certain way, and he mentioned Hitler's name. And then one of Hitler's guards said, "Hello, you are talking to the Führer. You are talking to Adolf Hitler, so you speak properly." It's like, even though you are dishing out the marriage vows, you should remember who you are talking to. Don't behave like you are a marriage officer. So now Hitler should be small for you to call him his name anyhow. It's the same thing that when we stand before God and God asks you, "What did you do for me?" You better find a lawyer to speak for you. Because if you say something, you say it wrong. You say, "I believe an angel will slap you." Yeah. "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Verse 7, we're going. "So then neither he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." He goes on. "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor." According to his labor. Every man shall receive his reward. So what are we going to receive reward for? For what? For our labor. So if you don't labor, I said, if you don't labor, and life here on earth even tells us, because even here on earth, if you don't work, you can't eat. If you don't work, you can't afford the things that other people afford. So you might as well, even if we are full, you will learn by experience that in this life, you only get rewards if you work. And it doesn't matter really, once it's a decent something, that's when you get money. You can't wait and say, "You know what? I'm waiting to get a nice job." Well, then you starve and die. So, as we are going to heaven, we are not actually going to experience anything that we don't know about. Like, this thing is so wild that we don't know what God is going to ask us. It is right there in his book. "According every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Are we not blind to this? It is the blindness to heaven. It is the blindness of the reward-giving ceremony in heaven that makes us come to sit down in the church idle. It's the blindness to the reward ceremony in heaven that makes us not even come to church, don't want to do even anything. I mean, when you do something in the church or you do something for God, you don't do it for me, you don't do it for the church. You do it for yourself. And because I am an agent of God, I'm an ambassador of Christ, I have to remind you about the things that God is going to ask you when you meet him. One lady was being, rebuked by her family. You know, they wanted her to cook something for the family or something. And then she was saying she wouldn't do it. And then they told her that, "But you cook for the church." I said, "That's rubbish. That's nonsense.
That's idiotic. You want to compare what somebody can do for you to the church? You are past God. Now, when you do things for the God, for the church, it's very, very different from when you do things for your family. It's not the same. It's never the same. Anything, if you give somebody money or you give the church money, they are two different things. You see, because if you give somebody money, it has its place. You get it? Because, you know, one of the things that we should remind or we should remember is that one of the major things that Jesus is doing now, apart from praying for us, is building his church. And anybody who helps the building of the church is actually fulfilling Jesus' desire. You see, so when you have something and you give it to individuals and it doesn't go towards the building of the church, it is something that it has its blessings, but it's not the same as if you give it to even somebody in the church. People say, I give things to people outside. If people ask me for money, I give to them. I help people. But you help the people in the church. That is what Jesus is doing. His Jesus' project is building the church. So if you're on the side of Jesus, then you must also be involved in the project, in the building of the church. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. Verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Some of you, I don't remember the last time you took a tool to do anything for God. Even though you are a laborer for God. You are idle like something. And you can be idle. You can go on. But one day you will stand before him. He said, you are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. What are you building? What are you building? He said, another build thereon. But let every man take heed how he build thereupon. Even the way you build it is even something you have to also be careful. So if you are not building anything at all, your case is worse. Because the person who is building, he is being cautioned on how he builds it. Because you can build it. You can build a building. And then the quality of it is very, very bad. In emergency cases, the building comes down. And then it's like all your work has become useless. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay. I'm sure we know what hay is. It's dry grass. I said dry grass. So the foundation is already there. And you are now building. You see, we are even talking about those who are building, not those who are not doing anything. I mean, as for you, we are not talking about you now. Because you don't qualify. Because you are not in the scripture. But we are talking about even those who are working. Because that's what we think, you know. We live our lives around here on earth thinking that God rather owes us something. Yeah. You see, because we live our lives always expecting things. The country must do well. The government must do well. My parents must help me. My mother must help me. My husband must help me. A man must help me. A woman must come into my life and help me. Everything is what we need. And therefore, when we come to God, it is the same equation we want to apply. That God owes us a blessing. God owes us some happiness. God owes us a miracle. God owes me something. Oh God, why? Oh God, when? It's the other way around. We rather owe God everything. Everything. Whether you are young, whether you are old, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you are a female, and whether you are a male. The Bible says in Christ there's neither male nor female. You don't have an excuse. You do not have an excuse. If anyone build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Verse 13. He said, every man's work shall be made manifest. It means that every man's work will be revealed. The nature, the quality of your work will be made manifest. It will show. My God. For the day. Somebody say for the day. There is a day. That day shall reveal, or for the day shall declare it. Samuel, that day will declare what you have been doing for God since you gave your heart to Him. And he says, how is it going to be revealed? The Bible says, because it is going to be revealed by fire. So, that's why the verse before, he said that some people's work is gold, is silver, is hay, and all of that. Because the nature of your work is going to go through a test. Now, if your work has the quality of hay or wood, then once it goes through the fire, now you should know. So, after God applies the fire on your work, then God will ask you, where's your work? So, Lord, but I brought it. I don't know what. If you don't think, you are now going to accuse God that He must have done something to what you brought. You may be accusing an angel standing by that, what did you do to my hay? Because you will suffer amnesia that hay going through fire, there's nothing is left of it. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, or is it 13 and 14? One of them. We are barren. We don't have anything to show God because we are blind to heaven. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. We are blind to heaven. We are blind to heaven. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write. Blessed are the dead. Hey, can you believe that blessed are the dead? Don't we cry when the dead people die? The Bible says, blessed are the dead. Not just the dead, but the dead who dead in Christ. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Now ask yourself, when you die, what work were you doing that now you will not be doing anymore? Ask yourself. What work are you going to rest from? What work are you going to rest from? You who doesn't want to do anything in the church. You who doesn't want to talk to anybody. You just want to come to church and you want to go home. You don't want to mind your own business. You who is studying to get all the temperatures and the degrees and the Fahrenheit. You who is busy trying to build a family. You who is busy with your business and your job. What work in the Lord when you see, when you die, what are we going to say? Oh, we have to find somebody to take up this job that this sister or that brother was doing. Is there something like that? It's not for me. I'm just an agent. I'm just a messenger trying to tell you what the Lord requires of you. You see, it's so interesting that people will give their life to all kinds of things in this world, but they will never do anything in the house of the Lord. One young man came around. You see, there are some people, when you talk to them, you realize how I don't know the word to describe them. This young man will come and, you know, when he talks to me, he will tell me that he's a smart guy. He will tell me that he's smart. Anybody who talks like that is a fool. Now, when I'm talking to him about seminary, Bible school, he's thinking of going to join the police and play steel pan in the police band. Yeah. You know why he wants to do that? He said he likes to travel, and he knows that when he does, they will make him travel. they may rest from their labors and their works and their vehicles and their children and their money, even shoes. They will not put some on you. You will not wear shoes on that day. All your long tower Marriott hotel shoes, your hotel tower shoes, your Pegasus hotel shoes, all the long and the short and whatever you have, not even one, because they say that if they put shoes on you, you come and walk in the house and make noise. Look, your food becomes even bigger that we have to go to the factory to order a special shoe for you. There's nothing that we can take with us. Lennox, are you listening to the message? People like to do all kinds of things, you know. Lions clap, tigers clap, rabbits clap, puma clap, cheetah clap, all kinds of things. Yeah. Associations, police consumers, this, that, da, 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 da. People have all kinds of benevolent so-called groups and associations where they devote their time to. But that kind of work is not going to follow you when you die in the Lord. The works that will follow you are the works you do for God. The works you do for God. The things you do for God. The Bible says that even though you sleep, you lie down in a coffin with only your dress and all of that, there's something called works that will follow you, because you were not blind to heaven. The blindness to heaven is what will make us go without any work. Yeah. Now, you see, I don't have to say it. When I die, you will know that I have rested from preaching. They used to preach every Sunday. He used to preach every Tuesday. Now, you must ask yourself, when I die, in the church, in the kingdom of God, what am I resting from? That's a very, very, very good question. From what? It's because we are blind. Because Peter said it. That because of the ignorance we have by not adding A, B, C, D, it makes us blind. It makes us blind. It makes us blind. It makes us blind. Ladies and gentlemen, God is trying to help us from blindness of heaven. Jesus always spoke about heaven. When Jesus was here, he always spoke about heaven. In fact, when the Bible talks about the men of faith, the Bible spoke about people who did not want to live in mega structures. You see, this world is so nice that you can spend your time looking for money to build a house. You can spend your time looking for money to take care of your family. That's why Jesus didn't marry. It was one of the bishops said it. He said, We didn't know it earlier. We would have not married. Because one of the problems that comes into this world is when you get married. It's when you are single. Are you married, sir? What's your name? Kelvin. When you are single, you can sleep anywhere. You can eat anything. You can wear anything. When you marry, you can't sleep anywhere. Kanya, you can. But by the 10 o'clock, they are calling you. Where you there? When are you coming home? If you don't sleep in the house, it's problems. Before you realize, complaint is being made to somebody that you didn't sleep home. So Jesus realized that. Jesus said, me? Jesus wouldn't have been able to die for us. Because when he was going to the cross, the wife would have come, Oh, Jesus, why are you doing this to me, oh, Jesus? But you promised me you will love me, oh, Jesus. Look at little Jesus Junior. Junior Jesus. Who's going to take care of him? Who's going to take care of him? How can you do something like that? And women have a way of appealing to your heart, you know.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a good heart, it's when women cry. It's not a very nice thing. That's why it's very cruel to beat a woman. It's very cruel. You got to be a bushman to beat a woman. Because you must feel, when a woman is crying, it is, man. That's how some women, they use crying to manipulate us also. Anytime you want to do something, they say, it's, all right, I won't do it. I've stopped. Okay, let's forget about it. They managed to use some tears against you. When Hitler was going to commit suicide, one of his staff, he had some, you know, the women in his office, they all lined up, about 8 of them. And then he was saying goodbye to everyone. So he went to this one, shake the hand. And he got to one who, she put a pin, an award on her coat like that. And he told her that, you know, you are one of the best mothers in the whole of Germany. The woman said, oh, you have made me the most happiest woman on earth. So when he finished, he and his wife entered into his chamber and they closed the door. That's when they were going to commit suicide. And that same woman couldn't handle it. She came. When he came, there was this bodyguard at the door. He said, he wants to see the Führer. He wants to see Hitler. He said, mm-mm. He can't see anybody at this time. He said, no, I want to see him. I want to see him for a few seconds. He was begging, please. It was too, you know, she was creating a scene outside the door. So the guy knocked and said, please, Frau, this one wants to see you. And Hitler opened the door. When Hitler opened the door, the woman fell on his feet. So please, he was in Berlin. I said, leave Berlin, just leave Berlin, please. We don't want to lose you. If we lose you, who are we going to follow? Hitler said, hello. Tomorrow, the whole world will curse me. What must happen. Kick her out. And then close the door. Because if he was to follow the tears and the pleading, he would say, okay, I won't die anymore. You had to kick the woman out in front of, kick her outside. To go inside and die. If Jesus had married, he couldn't preach like he preached, you know. Because, are you, this preaching that you are preaching, at least when you preach, come back and see us. You're moving from Jerusalem. You're going to Samaria. You're calling like you don't have anybody to. No call. You don't call. You don't even tell us when you are coming back. Yeah. You don't tell us when you are traveling. Oh, yeah. No, sometimes you forget. I mean, the last time I think I was traveling and I mean, out of all the business, I forgot to, you know, mention it before. So I think it was either the night before or something I told my wife that, well, I'm traveling tomorrow. Hey! Face turn up. Hey! Is it the face can turn up that you can easily cancel your flight when you want peace. And when face turn up, then you also turn up too. Because I gotta go. Share. Jesus, you gotta go to the cross, man. If that will be my last trip, so be it. I got women. We must do something for God because of heaven. When we arrive in heaven, everybody, it's like there's a scale weighing what you have done. Yeah. And then when you hear the one who is in front of you, when you hear what the Lord is telling the person, you gotta sit up and say, hey.
It's like when your exams results are out and everybody's going for their results. And then you go with a few, one or two friends or classmates and you are there. You know, these days they have internet and all of that. But, you know, in those days you go to the office and the head teacher will bring out the paper and say, what's your name again? So, Asabre, okay, what? A-N, okay. When she looks at you and she looks at the paper, you must get the message. Something didn't go well. Now, when you come out, I remember when we went for our O levels, my school was very far, like on the Soosdyke Linden Highway. That's how far my school was. So we went, a few friends, we went together, you know, and then there's a back entrance, there's a bush path, a trail from behind the administrative block to join an area in town. So like, let's say if you get to the Linden Soosdyke Highway, then there's a trail that will take you to, let's say, Temeri. So you see people, as they come in with a taxi or with a bus and they get down, they go to the administration, they don't come to the main gate to go. They use the trail. It tells you that it didn't work. It didn't work at all. Once you come out, you get out of the headmaster's office, your head is down like that, and then you just take this left, and then you are on. You must understand that, it didn't go well. And that's how some of us are going to experience heaven. When a person in front of you, you see him coming out of the room, you will wee-wee on yourself, if we can wee-wee in heaven. I tell you. Because you realize that you spend your time on earth not looking at another world in view. Not looking at what was going to come. Jesus spoke several times about heaven. The Bible says in John chapter 7, verse 33, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. He wasn't going to allow the nice things on earth to keep him around at all. If you look at the life of Jesus, he didn't give himself to anything. Even up to the time when he was going to be crucified, and he was standing before Pilate, and Pilate said, don't you know that I have the power to release you? Jesus said he will not say anything. Lest if he says something, Pilate will say, you know what? Yeah. You know what? All right. You won't die. He wanted to die and go back to his father where he came from. So he kept quiet. How many of us really? I mean, even this keeping quiet thing. How many of us will even be able to take it? That you know that if you don't respond to something, God is going to be happy with you. And the thing is so provoking. The thing is so irritating. The thing is going to be so shameful and disgraceful that you can't keep your mouth shut. It's not easy to bear those things. Yeah, let's say your neighbor. You didn't do anything, but your neighbor is insulting you, cussing you up. And then you just keep quiet. It's not easy. It's not easy. God is trying to help us. That even though we live in this world, we should live our lives in such a way that we will not be so consumed by the things in this world. And if we are going to be consumed by the things in this world, we must make sure that we are equally doing things that will overrule or surpass the things that we are doing in this world for ourselves. Because one day when we get there, our works are going to be proven. I pray that you don't cry on that day. May the Lord deliver you from sadness on the day of judgment. May the Lord deliver you from crying on the day of judgment. May you work in such a way that by the time you get to heaven, there's going to be rejoicing on your part. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for cautioning us. Thank you for warning us. Thank you for talking to us about what you are going to ask us. It is so clear. There's only a good teacher. It's only a caring teacher who knows the questions that are coming in an exam will use that same questions to teach his students.
Lord, that is what you're doing for us because you love us. You don't want us to be found wanting. You don't want us to miss the mark. You don't want us to fail the exam on that day. You are exposing heaven to us. May we not be blind to heaven from today. May we not be blind to heaven from this morning service. And may we continue to do something for your name's sake. Thank you for speaking to us this morning. In Jesus' name.
You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.